Let's now turn to the Word, our attention to the Word, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the last chapter, chapter 6. I'm just reading 1 through 4, verses 1 through 4 of that chapter, the last chapter in Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Hear now, dear people of the Lord, God's precious Word. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou may live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be upon us all. Again, Lord, we pray that thou would fill our minds with your thoughts, your ways, your word. Yes, O God, fill us up to overflowing, that we may be made spectacular in living for God and Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray, be with us now. Amen. Well, as you can tell, this is a scripture that pertains to parents and their children. We all have been at one point children. We all have had parents. Many of us have been parents ourselves with children and now grandparents as well. So there is a lot of application here. There certainly is something for all of us to hear. It's important that we raise our children well. It's extremely important that we raise our children well. And this is giving us as Christians, we Christians here, advice, counsel, encouragement, how to do. And I want to talk about first the emphasis in verse 1 here, children, obey your parents in the Lord. I want to talk about that, in the Lord, in the first. Then I want to talk about obey. Obey in the Lord. And to obey means, literally, to hear under, like as a subordinate under a captain or under an employer or something. To hear under, that's what obey literally means. To listen attentively, to conform. I want to talk about that a little bit in the second place. In the third place, I want to talk about honor in the Lord. And honor means to fix a value upon, to revere. To honor means it's valuable. In the fourth place, I want to talk about nurture in the Lord. And to nurture means to tutor, to educate, to train with correction and discipline. And finally, the fifth place, I want to talk about admonition in the Lord. And admonition means to call attention to with a mild rebuke or warning. Sometimes it means encourage. But often it means to call attention to with a mild rebuke, with a warning. So I want to talk about those five things. There's a lot to say, but I'm going to say as much as I can in a brief amount of time. Now the key word, the key phrase in chapter 6, verse 1, obey your parents in the Lord. So this is counsel to Christians. This is counsel to Christians and by implication, clearly, children. they are in the Lord as well. I have said it before, and I'll say it again, and I'll take it to my grave. God gives Christians to Christians. That's why we baptize them. God gives Christians to Christians. That's how he builds his church. Not the only way. Not head for head. Not every child born to Christian believers, a Christian couple, turns out to be a son or a daughter of God. Not everyone that makes a profession of faith turns out to be a son or daughter of God. It's not according to man. It's always according to God. But this is advice. This is counsel. This is admonition, if you will, from our God towards Christian parents and their children who are Christians. And so that's an important thing we want to understand here. This is a call to us who are in the Lord. And of course, you know that this is a very important thing to be in the Lord, right? You're part of the covenant. You've been welcomed into the household of God. You have been given the blessings of God. In fact, God loves you so that from eternity that he sent his only son to redeem you by his blood, sacrifice everything for you and for your child and for your son, for your daughter. God sacrificed everything in Jesus Christ, his son, for you and your child. And so right away we need to pay attention, right? Our ears are peaked. We need to listen. This is God, through the apostle, the inspired apostle, speaking to you, parents, children, young people. Obey your parents in the Lord. You are in the Lord, they are in the Lord. It's proper to do. Now, this obedience and this honor is a bad to obey, to honor. This is a bad term today because we're living in days. But I guess it's always been this way. I say, you know, I haven't lived at every time, every day and age. I read histories. I read biographies, autobiographies, and you know, you can get a sense of things from the people that report. But you know, it's just a sense of things, and. In our day and age, because of rebellious movements that have been publicized greatly by politicians and on television and on the radio and all that stuff, then, you know, the communications are so much better now that you get this stuff as it happens. We're living in a day of rebellion. Rebellion against God. Rebellion against Christ. Rebellion against Christians. People hate Christians. I mean, if you really want to live a righteous life, if you really want to live a true life, according to the scriptures, according to the word of God, you have scruples that the Holy Ghost has given you, you're going to be hated. You're going to be despised. You're going to be rejected. And you don't want to be. You don't mean to be. You just are. Because of the rebellion that people have towards God and towards Christ and towards his followers. Nevertheless, children, obey, honor, be trained by your parents. For you belong to the Lord. We have a child coming in a little bit to be baptized, and we believe that this is important because this advice is to that child. Now, the child can't understand right now that this advice is to her. Child, obey. But that's what this child is going to be taught, I'm sure. And they're going to listen if they belong to Christ. And I'm just quoting here from a baptismal form in one of the Psalter hymnals, that our children were baptized as infants as the sign that even as they are without their knowledge, partakers of the condemnation in Adam, right? They're born and they are sinners. Not only with a sinful nation, nature, but that from which comes sin, but they have original sin. They have the guilt of the sin of their first parents on them already. They're black. They don't know that. They haven't done anything. They haven't done any actual sin of their own. They're born that way. They don't know it. But that's the fact. Likewise, they receive grace in Christ at an early age. They don't know it. They can't say it. They can't explain it. But we know that God does that. And so we baptize our children as infants because we believe that they, as well as the adult, are included in the covenant and church of God. And since redemption from sin by the blood of Christ and the Holy Ghost, the author of faith, is promised to them no less than to the adult. And right here is the implication and teaching, for example. We also they must therefore be baptized as a sign of the covenant, be admitted into the Christian church, and be distinguished from the children of unbelievers. Unbelievers don't baptize. They dedicate their children to all sorts of things. They don't baptize. So we have an excellent thing here to consider. And we're going to practice what is preached from this pulpit today, this morning, Lord willing. Now, children are to obey. Let's again remind you that to obey is to hear under, as a subordinate listens to the commands of his superior officer. It's to listen attentively, to conform to that command. They are to obey in the Lord, right? Obey your parents in the Lord, for that is what is right. And we want to say that this is a higher calling, if you will, to our children, towards our children, than any calling by any unbelieving parent or child psychologist or sociologist or school counselor or anything like that. This is obedience. We're telling actually the child to obey in the Lord, to obey for the sake of your God who has saved you and is sanctifying you and is blessing you with these faithful parents, these believing parents, and with a belief yourself, with a faith yourself. And so we're going to train up our child to believe that he or she is of God. Because we know Christians are given to Christians by God. That's the way it works from generation to generation. Not altogether, not, you know what, maybe we would like it to be, like all our children grow up to be Christians and that. But God has built his church. Just read the Bible and the genealogies. What's that about? But to teach us that he's a God to us and to our children again and again and again. He saves children. And you know this. I'm sort of preaching to the choir here. But we are to tell our children that they are to obey in the Lord, that to honor God with this. It just now, it is a benefit for earthly, ungodly, or should I say earthly and natural parents to teach their children to obey authority, to obey them and to obey all authority. That has a benefit. But the call that our children have, that God gives to us, children, to rear up in Him, that is a much higher calling. That is a spiritual calling. And therefore, we need to teach our children early on about the Lord, that they are in the Lord, what the Lord, who the Lord is, what it means to be in the Lord. We need to teach them His commands and His word. We need to instruct them in the stories as we do in our homes, in our devotions, and at Calvary Church here at Sunday School and so on. We need to warn our children away from the world and the godless and the worldly, and tell them not to be fooled or taken in by the philosophies of men and women that are perverse these days. That they come to you, child, they come to you with outstretched hand in authority position sometimes, but they are not in the Lord, and they do not have His interest in mind, though they might seem to have yours at the time. We need to demonstrate to our children how to be humble before our God, how we ourselves as adults obey Him and shape our lives according to His word and His ways. Show ourselves to be Christians so that they can obey. They see obedience in our lives so that they can obey in their lives as well. And of course, we have the greatest example of all in the Scripture, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was born, right, to two parents, imperfect. He, the perfect man, the perfect God, the perfect little boy, never did anything wrong, no sin in Him whatsoever. No thought of sin in Him whatsoever. No temptation ever gripped His spirit. Outwardly there was temptation, but not inwardly. Unlike us, we have the inward temptation as well. He never had that. He's God. He's perfect. And yet He had to obey His mother and His foster father, His biological mother, but His foster father, Joseph, was not His actual father biologically. And He had to obey. And that must have been interesting as He grew up. Doesn't say much about it, but they knew that something was special about this boy. They knew he was the Son of God. Mary knew, pondered these things in her heart from the very beginning when he was born, and the very miraculous way and the angel visitation and all that happened to her. She knew. And she must have wondered sometimes how best to instruct this boy who is the Son of God. And of course we read in Hebrews chapter 5 that Jesus learned obedience through suffering for sinners. He obeyed. His Father's will was that He would suffer on the cross, that He would pour forth His blood, sacrifice His life for you and for me. And so it says that He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. So, not only are we to obey in the Lord, we are to obey like the Lord. Jesus Christ Himself obeyed and learned through obedience, through suffering, obedience unto the Father. And of course, honored the Father in all things. Now, let's talk about honor. As they fix a value upon, honor your father and mother, verse 2. honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Well, I'm not going to get into what that promise is and living long on the earth. Just think of the new earth, the new heavens and the new earth, and living eternally, and you got it. But I want to talk a little bit about fixing a value upon your father and your mother and honoring. Remember, this is talking to children, and as soon as they're old enough to learn this stuff, they got to be taught this stuff and hear from the scriptures that the Lord has commanded you, is the fifth commandment, the Lord has commanded you to honor your parents. And that means to be obedient to them and honor them and care for them and fix a value upon them and appreciate them as being your gifts, your first wonderful, beautiful gifts from the Lord himself. Your father and your mother are gifts from God to children. Doesn't always look that way, and the parents don't always act that way. But it is that way if we're doing things in the Lord. All of us are doing things in the Lord. And we are to obey. In Colossians, Paul writes in Colossians that you are to obey and you're to honor your father and mother in all things. There's no exception. Well, there's one exception, right? Which is what? The exception is that if your parent instructs you to sin, to break the commands of God, a child does not have to obey that. And you know, you've heard about that on the news, right? Parents sending their youngsters in to steal things because they can't get arrested. They can't get in as much trouble. So the parent sends the child in, a 10-year-old or whatever, to steal for him. Because that child has no idea what is righteous in the sight of God, because he has a parent that's not righteous that hasn't taught him, probability. Maybe he had a grandparent that did, however. But that's the only thing, when a parent tells us to do something that's against the command of God. Children ought to obey and honor their parents in all things. And they honor their mother as well as their father, right? A lot of people honor people because they're afraid of them, because out of fear. They'll respect them, they'll revere them, they'll listen to them. And sometimes a child is not as afraid of the mother as of the father because of discipline or whatever. But the honor is to both father and mother. And the mother is to be revered and respected as much as the father. And the father likewise. In our day, it seems to be the reverse in many households because of a feministic kind of philosophies and such, where the fathers are put down. You see this oftentimes on sitcoms and shows where the father is stupid, you know, portrayed as dumb, and the mother and the child much smarter. And so there's not much respect towards fathers in that kind of climate, in that situation. But the command is equal to both. Now, in the last two instances here, we have nurture and we have admonition. And again, I want to remind you that nurturing is tutoring. It's education. It is education and training through correction and discipline. And admonition is to draw attention to, usually through a mild rebuke or action in that way, towards in the way of rebuke, in the way of warning. That's an admonition. And I want you to notice something important here in verse 4. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, in the tutelage or the tutoring, and in the the training, through mild rebuke, through warning in the Lord. But notice to whom it is addressed in verse 4. We hear about fathers not provoking your children to wrath, but we don't hear too much, too often, fathers, you're to bring them up. You're to nurture them and admonish them. That it's your responsibility above all else. Doesn't mean that they do it exclusively. It doesn't mean that they do it only. It doesn't mean that they don't delegate some to the mother and to teachers and so on. But the fact is that fathers are called to train their child, to educate their child, to tutor their child. That's what nurture means, to tutor him in the Lord, in the things of the Lord. So we're not to just give it off to a parent, grandparent, or to a teacher, or to a nanny, or something else, to the mother even. But the father is to have a say in this. He has a responsibility. He's to train his child. He's to set up an altar, family altar, for example, and teach his children from the scriptures, leading in the education of the child, especially the training in the Lord, the teaching in the Lord. In my house, I did all the instruction and doctrine and theology and all. My wife led them in song. And that explains that. I don't have to explain that to anyone who knows. And that was fine. And the kids learned the hymns. The kids learned the songs. The kids learned the psalms. They learned the stories. They know them. Sometimes they don't act like it. But they know them. They'll tell you. Went to church morning and evening every single day of their life, every single Sunday of their life. Morning and evening. Morning and evening. All the time. Went to camp. Youth camp. I made sure they went to that. And vacation Bible school. And Sunday school. And opening exercises. And you are not to miss it. I don't care. Even if you're sick. You come unless you're very sick. And the doctor says, stay home with that infected child. Why? Because I took this seriously. Now, I wasn't perfect. My kids will tell you, but I don't want them to talk to you after the service and tell you these things. But they'll tell you. Because the father is to not only not to provoke the child, and let me just get into that real quick before we need to go on, move on to the wonderful sacrament of baptism. But the admonition comes in when you are instructing your child, you're training your child, you're bringing him up or her up in the Lord. Well, in order not to provoke your child to wrath, in order to be able to train your child in such a way through mild rebuke and correction, in order to be able to do that properly, your child has to see that you are being trained by the Lord, encouraged and rebuked, admonished and so on by the Lord. He has to see in you that you have bowed the knee to Jesus and you are trusting and obeying God in all the details of your life. And let me say this, that the child, and you know this better than I do, some of you, that the child, they see the beautiful little people and they have everything, just like we. And they have these little eyes and these little ears and these little faces and these little brains. And they see everything. They see everything and they understand that they come to understand more and more that this guy, that this father of mine is a bum. This father of mine is not doing things right and correct in the Lord. And he expects me And it fosters rebellion. It provokes them to wrath because they don't see in the head of the house, in the father, as well as the mother, of course, but in the father, the fear of God, the training of God. And so it's very vital that we take seriously as fathers, as mothers, as brothers, as sisters, these words. They're to all of us. They're to all of us. And this is the way our Christianity becomes real as well and alive. Because we all, you know, we all have relations with our own fathers and mothers and sisters and brothers and all that. And some of us have children and all that. And God is telling us how to live in Christ, how to live in the Lord, how to be a Christian. And so let's take this to heart and let's pray. Heavenly Lord, we praise your name. We thank you for the instruction given in your word. Your word is truth to us. It is wonderful truth. And we pray, oh Lord, that you would forgive us when we don't handle it well through our thoughts as well as our actions. But we ask that you would continue to strengthen us by your grace, that we may move in the direction heavenward in Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. I want to now, of course, I have informed you a little bit about baptism through that message. I want to read.